Welcome to the Top 10 Tips of Generosity with Mike Dixon.
Hello. In just 30 minutes, I want to show you a great way to improve your life and the lives of many others by being generous, and how it will make you a much happier person, a person with a purpose. And it will also be fun. You will discover 10 simple, practical steps you can take to spread generosity. Steps you can start now, today, this week. Some ideas are so simple you can do them within minutes of finishing this audiobook. Others need a little more time, thought, and research. But I think you'll find them all inspiring, thought-provoking, and worth acting on. So let's go. Find a quiet spot, press the pause button, and log into the soppy part of you. What exactly is generosity? And how does living generously make such an enormous difference to your life, and as importantly, the lives of others? It's time to move on from the age of I, the age where we were all encouraged to be self-sufficient, independent and wealthy, to search for true happiness and find the real us, to move on from being cleverly and ruthlessly advertised and marketed at, to buy a lifestyle rather than to get a real life. To borrow as much money as we like, to consume things that upon cool, calm reflection we didn't really need or use. It's time to move to a new and much more rewarding age of generosity, where we all get a grip and decide that actually we, ourselves, can tackle the challenges our society faces as individuals and in groups. A world where we can all become leaders and change makers, by living more generous, proactive lives, by inspiring each other, by setting an example to our friends and to our children. It's time to build a world of you and me, not you or me. A generous life means looking after each other, our friends and families, and those we often ignore. Becoming actively involved with our own communities. Speaking up for the poorest and most disadvantaged in our society, and becoming their champions, paying attention to the plight of the world's poorest people and learning how we can help them, and actively campaigning to save our planet. It involves acknowledging that we really do care about the destruction of the rainforest, about preserving fish in our oceans and the tigers on land for our children to wonder at when they are grown up, and that we value these things much more than fabric conditioner and the latest flavoured crisps. Most importantly, it means that we must take the trouble to learn the truth about these issues and not simply carry on transmitting the questionable opinions of some of our dafter friends, or worse, quoting information and articles that have been placed in the media by professional lobbying groups. Generosity isn't about material wealth or money. Generosity is a state of mind. It's a way of living your life. Generosity is a willingness to share unselfishly with an open heart, an open hand, and an open mind. Giving your time, which costs you nothing, is the greatest act of generosity. Forgiveness is generosity, and the simple truth is, forgiveness is an act of choice. You can forgive someone, even become their friends again, and move on, or carry the grudge to your grave. Encouraging people is generosity. Think of the people who cheered you on when you were down, or put an arm round you when you were having a hard time. Generosity is a measure of your self-worth, not your net worth. We all know in our hearts it's great to be generous. We feel much better about ourselves when we can help other people, and we are touched and moved when people are generous and thoughtful to us. Just think for a moment about the last time someone paid you a compliment, or went out of their way to help you, or forgave you for a mistake. There's a great truth about generosity. It has an almost spiritual side to it, and a magical quality. The person who is on the receiving end gains something, and the person being generous feels much better about themselves. Both the giver and the receiver wins. Ralph Waldo Emerson put it so well when he said, It is one of the beautiful compensations of this life that no one can sincerely try to help another without helping himself. And the great news is that our society is overflowing with people whose everyday lives involve an enormous amount of love and care for others, people who do their jobs but are also generous with their lives. Teachers, doctors, nurses, ambulance drivers, charity workers, firefighters, all whose work includes a generosity of spirit that we should admire and applaud. Here are my top 10 tips for living a more generous life. If you start doing just one of them, your life will change for the better, not to mention the lives of those who you decide to sprinkle with generosity.
Step 1. What is the point of you?
At the risk of stating the very obvious, we all only have one life on this earth, and we need to make the very best of it. In 2005, Time magazine polled over 2,000 people and asked them the very simple question, what one thing in your life has brought you the greatest happiness? The top four sources of happiness were all about other people. Over 70% of the respondents mentioned the same four things: their relationships with their children, their relationship with their spouse, partner, or loved one, the importance of their friends and friendships, and their contribution to the lives of others. Notice that none of these involve money, and the results are the same in all the books, reports, and studies about happiness that I've read. What makes us truly happy are our closest relationships and our ability to contribute to life, to leave the world a better place than we found it, something we can all do every day of our lives. So we can truthfully say that a generous life is not only a life well lived and an enjoyable life, it's a happier life too. Generosity equals happiness. Success is important, but as the slightly glib saying goes, no one ever said on their deathbed, "Gosh, I wish I'd spent more time in the office." What gives real meaning to life is significance. It was the famous Scottish philanthropist Andrew Carnegie who said, "The day is not too far distant when the man who dies leaving millions of available wealth, which was free for him to administer during his life, will pass away unwept, unhonoured and unsung, no matter what uses he leaves the dross which he cannot take with him. Of such as these, the public verdict will be, the man who dies thus rich dies disgraced." So today, make up your mind to be significant as well as successful.
Step 2. What is enough to live a happy and fruitful life?
There is no right answer to this. What is enough for a family living in a village in rural Kenya is quite different from the needs of a family living and working in a city like London. But the very good news is that on a personal level, deciding what enough is hugely liberating. It frees you from the continuous drive to accumulate stuff, and it saves you a great deal of money not buying things that you don't really need. And when you have worked out what is enough for you and your family, you will probably not have to work so hard or such long hours. You can relax and put aside time to focus on living a more generous, interesting, and rewarding life. Take the time to learn about the challenges and the issues facing your community, the world today. Volunteer to help a good charity you admire. We need to maximize our lives, not our income. Take some time out now to list the things you really need and would like to live an interesting and contented life, and some of the things you could quite happily live without. I promise you, the results will really surprise you.
Step 3. Consume less stuff.
Do you really need all the stuff you buy? Do you really need a new mobile, the latest laptop, even more clothes, a new car? Marketing folk have become hugely successful at convincing us that things are out of date within months. The average consumer now changes their mobile phone every 18 months. Why? Take cars. Your average lifetime as a driver is 60 years. If you replace your car every 2 years, you'll be the proud owner of 30 cars in your lifetime. Keep each car for 6 years and you'll own just 10 cars. That's 20 fewer. Less resources needed from our much battered planet, and we all know that a 6-year-old car will still happily get us from A to B. TVs are another good example. First it was widescreen TVs, then plasma TVs, then HD TVs, then 3D TVs, and soon it will be internet TVs. Quite truthfully, I have absolutely no idea what the difference is between them all. Do you? And I'm almost certain that it doesn't really matter anyway. How about presents? Hands up, all those of you who get presents every year that you really don't want. And give presents to people that they don't want either. Present giving done well and with thought is great fun, or it can be a dreadful and very depressing waste of money. A couple of Christmases ago, eBay listed over 2 million unwanted Christmas presents on their site. To move on to more serious ground, there is the shameful subject of the food we all waste. According to the World Food Programme, 1 billion people in the world are starving or hungry, while another billion are overweight or obese, probably on diets or running around gyms like hamsters. Someone in the world dies of starvation every 3 seconds. While each year in North America and Europe, we throw out enough food to feed the world's poor 3 times over. In the UK alone, families bin a third of all the food they buy. There is enough food in the world to go round. It's just a complete scandal that it doesn't. So don't waste food, or buy food you suspect or even know you're not going to have the time to eat, however tempting the buy one, get one free offers are, and ignore that well-known marketing ploy, the sell-by, best-before-buy date. There is one very simple question you need to ask yourself every time you're about to buy something. And the question is, do I really need this? The answer is very often, not at all. I might want another shirt, a new mobile, but I can quite happily live without it, especially when the alternative use of the same sum of money can make a huge difference to some of the poorest people on the planet. The money you save not buying this season's must-have dress could be lent to help a group of women in an Indian village to start their own sari-making business and provide them with an income for life, leaving another wonderful pair of new shoes in the shop could pay for the education of several children in Uganda for a whole year. The price of a meal out with friends at the end of a busy and very stressful week could pay the salary of a teacher in an orphanage in southern India for a whole year. We need to take only what we really need from the world's scarce resources and not more than our fair share. Our new motto should be, live more simply, that others may simply live.
Step 4. Generosity begins at home.
How much time do you have to spend with your family and friends? How is everybody? Put aside some quiet time, grab a pen and some paper, and find a spot where you won't be interrupted. Now think about all the members of your family, you know, the ones you haven't seen for ages, and your best friends, including the ones that you haven't seen much of since you left university. They moved to the country, and even another country. Make a list of people to call, and today or tomorrow, ring them up or email them, swap news, arrange to meet up for a coffee or a meal, or get together for a weekend. Wasting time with friends is not wasting time. By the way, if you've fallen out with someone, and who hasn't, now is the time to give yourself a serious talking to. Remember, forgiveness is one of the most difficult and yet one of the most rewarding acts of generosity.
Step 5. Be a good Samaritan.
Everyone knows the story of the Good Samaritan. A man is attacked and beaten up by robbers and left for dead. a priest and a Levite, passed by on the other side. In other words, they left him to die. The Samaritan stopped, treated the man's wounds, and took him to the nearest inn, where he paid for him to stay. The two religious leaders, who could and should have helped, didn't. The Samaritan, one of society's outcasts, did. It's the thought process that intrigues me. The two religious leaders thought, if we cross to help him, what will happen to us? And the Samaritan thought, if I don't help, what will happen to him? Now own up, how many times have you two passed by on the other side? Who do you know who is generally shunned, politely ignored, and avoided by yourself and others? Who has a very hard life, a terribly lonely time? Who is labelled as a problem person, difficult or dull? People who are disabled or have mental health problems. Tomorrow, make a point of talking to or helping someone you normally wouldn't notice or would avoid. It would take you literally just a couple of minutes, and it'll be one of the best things you do all day. I love this quote from the poet William Wordsworth. That best portion of a good man's life, his little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and of love.
Step 6. Be secretly generous.
Now we come to the fun bit. Do fun, random acts of generosity every day. Buy a coffee or a cinema ticket for the person in the queue behind you, or for someone at work. Leave a book token in a book in a bookshop. Give some money to a flower seller to give a bunch of flowers to someone they think needs cheering up. Let someone keep the change. Pay someone a compliment. Thank them for something they have done for you. Tell someone they're looking fantastic. Sometimes people come up to me and say, haven't you lost weight? And of course I haven't, but I feel fantastic afterwards. Drive generously. Let the other car go first. Smile at someone. See how many people smile back. You get the point. Think of your own ideas. Spread them and let me know how they go.
Step 7. Generosity in your community.
Now it's the time to get cross. If there's one thing that really makes me angry, it's people who say, there are no poor people in Britain. Not really poor, they go on, not like the people starving in Africa. Well, no, it's not the same level of desperate poverty, but it is nevertheless very real, miserable, degrading poverty, all the more disgraceful in a so-called wealthy and civilised Western democracy. According to the government, there are 13.5 million people living in poverty in Britain. That's 22% of the population. A recent UNICEF report named the UK as one of the worst countries to be a child, bottom of their list of 21 countries for children's well-being. Let me give you just two examples. Chichester is a lovely small city in southern England. It has a beautiful 900-year-old cathedral, an excellent theatre, and all the shops and eating places you could possibly need. It's a perfect picture of traditional England at its best. In the woods, just outside the city, invisible and unknown to the majority of the local residents, there are 3 tented camps of homeless people. Anyone passing by, especially during the summer months, might imagine they are looking at a holiday campsite, but they're not. Within walking distance of the city centre, 70 to 100 people are living in the woods and by the canal, homeless, hungry, with little money and even less hope. The city authorities are well aware of them and take care to ban them from the city centre. I have recounted the story of my visit to these camps to several astonished friends who live nearby or know the area well and who knew nothing of these homeless people. In Salisbury, there's a charity called the Trussell Trust. They give out 3 days of food to people who have none, who are experiencing an emotional or financial crisis. Last year, they fed over 40,000 people every day from 71 locations. And they plan to expand their services to every town and city in the UK. Just think about this for a moment. A charity that feeds hungry people in Britain has a plan to expand. Feeding hungry people in the UK, not Africa, is a growth business. Incidentally, this would be a good time to go and ask your local food stores why they are throwing away perfectly good food every night while people are going hungry in the same town. This sort of poverty exists within half a mile, probably a few hundred yards of where you are now. It is time to discover the urgent needs of real people living in your own street, town, and area, and see what you can do to help them. We all need to get stuck in and help out in our local communities, to become actively involved, to care. It is the little things we do in life that truly are the big things.
Step 8. Become Superman or Superwoman.
We all know and love Superman, the ultimate hero. His mission was to right wrongs and fight for social justice against tyranny. What has all this got to do with me, you ask? Well, we all have the chance to be Superman ourselves, to an African child or a group of women villagers in India. We, that is you and me, really can provide education for a young girl who would otherwise have to leave school early and work in the fields or be forced into prostitution. We can give small sums of money so that people, real people, have enough food to eat, get the right medicine to cure them of sickness. We can actually save someone's life this week. You have it in your power to help the poorest people in the world to start a business that will lift them out of poverty and provide them with an income for life. Microloans are small loans, often as little as £50, given to the poorest people in the world so that they can start their own small business. 95% of these loans are made to women, and the repayment rate is a completely staggering 97%. A bad debt ratio that is beyond the dreams of most Western banks. I have seen this myself in the deserts of Rajasthan in India. The results of these small loans are simply extraordinary. Families can eat properly. They can gain access to health care. Children can afford to go to school. Women gain a voice in their communities and a sense of dignity. Have a look at two microloan organisations, one called Shivya, www.shivya.com, and the bigger, Kiva, www.kiva.org. You will be amazed what you can do to help. Education is the very best gift you can give to a child. Even though you may be bored to death with appeals from large charities about how you can change a child's life for a few pounds a week, the truth is, it is true. Last year, I met a great man called Chris Muburu. Chris was born in a Kenyan village. His education was paid for by a Swedish woman called Hilda Back, £20 a month sort of thing, for many, many years. Chris ended up going to Harvard, and he's now a human rights lawyer at the United Nations in Geneva. Chris developed a scholarship program in his village in Kenya to give gifted children the same opportunity that he had had. And then he set out to find the woman who had paid for his education. And the result is a simply wonderful film called One Small Act, the story of how the two of them meet up. As Hilda Back says, I think it just felt normal to donate money to a child. And as Chris says, you can't change the world. Sometimes it's just as good to help one child. You could follow Hilda Back's example. Or you could get together with a group of friends and provide money to build a water well in a village in Africa. It costs about $2,000 to build a well, which would serve a community of approximately 500 people. That works out as the equivalent of a couple of bottles of water. Now, come on, you aren't still buying bottled water, are you? Per villager, per life. Clean drinking water is obviously a good thing. However, the power of water is incredible. The women living in the village do not have to spend hours every day walking to collect fresh water. They spend more time in their village, so the men behave better. The children get a better education. The health of the village improves dramatically. All of this is a forever, one-off step change that fundamentally improves people's lives. You see, these are just some of the things you can do in your new exciting role as Superman. As the Dalai Lama said, If you think you're too small to make an impact, try going to bed with a mosquito.
Step 9. Make giving a habit.
I'm sure that you sometimes give money to charity. But what would happen if you decided to give away a small part of your monthly income on a regular basis to a good cause? After all, most of us pay a monthly direct debit for our mobile phone and don't notice it. When part of your income is set aside for helping others, of course it helps them, but it also centres you and reminds you to be grateful for what you've got. Taking an active interest in charities, an important cause, your local neighbourhood, or the world will make you feel much better about life when things are tough, you've had a dreadful week at work, and you're in full moan mode. You won't take yourself quite so seriously. Start by giving away just 2.5% of your monthly income. Put it another way, could you really not live off 97.5% of your income? Give it to a great local cause, or save the world, and give someone in India or Africa an education or a microloan to really help them to live better lives, or simply to save their life.
Step 10. Do no harm. Be generous to the environment.
Everyone who is even half awake knows we are facing serious challenges to our environment. Everything that you and I live off comes out of the ground, is grown on it, or feeds off it. As a citizen of the world, how much are you using up the world's very finite resources? We really can make an impact on how our environment is used by asking where things come from, how they are made, and where they go when they are no longer useful. Think of the vast areas of plastic floating about in the Pacific Ocean. We can influence how companies behave. Is it sustainably sourced? If not, don't buy it. How far has what you are buying travelled to be with you? Buy local where you can. Put your money back into your own community. Franny Armstrong directed the environmental film The Age of Stupid and co-founded the environmental campaign 1010.uk.org. These are her great comments on the subject. I was born in the early 70s, part of an MTV generation who were told by a million advertisements that the point of our existence was to shop more. Daunting though the task ahead may be, I feel enormously inspired and quite relieved that it turns out that we have something important to do. The people who came before us didn't know about climate change, and the ones who come after us will be powerless to stop it. So it's down to us. Other generations came together to overturn slavery or end apartheid or to win the vote for women. There's nothing intrinsically more useless about our generation, and there is no doubt what we have to do. The only question is whether or not we give it a go. Let's all start to build a more generous world starting today. I want to encourage and inspire millions of people of different ages, backgrounds, cultures, and countries throughout the world to live more generous lives and to carry out simple acts of generosity. I want to ask you to do one act of generosity today, or tomorrow, or this week. Pick any of the steps on this audio or think up your own. Be creative, be spontaneous, just do it and notice the impact generosity has on your morale and on your own life. Go on, surprise yourself and put the results on your own Facebook page and tag the Please Take One Step Facebook page so that you can set an example to your friends and inspire them to rise to the challenge as well. And we can all see everyone's actions and ideas on the same spot. Sign off with a wave. It's the friendly symbol of the movement. If you use Twitter, then get others to join you by mentioning @PleaseTakeOne in your tweet. Just imagine the wonderful acts of generosity, the stories, the examples we can all set by inspiring others. Why? Because we can be better than we have been, and because we can do it. Thank you. A wave. Mike.